Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
This is it! The time has come!
Saturday night's all right for fighting.
Push him down.
Get in the ring and go the distance with Fight Night with Gareth A. Davies.
You're better than that!
On Talk Sport.
You're listening to the Fight Night podcast on TalkSport here with me, Gareth Davies. Spencer Oliver is in the studio with me. We began this week's podcast by talking about and reacting to Dalton Smith's victory over Jose Zepeda in Sheffield. What a victory it was.
This was a coming-of-age fight for Dalton Smith, you know, a big step up in class. Arriving on the world stage, if you like, and Zepeda, known as a tough opponent, went 11 rounds of Regis Progre. You know, he's rough, tough, and takes, you know, takes some beating. And that was a dominant performance there by Dalton Smith. And yeah, he's arrived on the world scene. Big, big win for him.
Absolutely. Jose Zepeda in three world title fights, of course. I remember when he lost to Terry Flanagan at lightweight a few years back. Shoulder injury in that fight, I hasten to add. But he'd had great victories over people like Ivan Baranchik. So this is a great marker on the headpost, if you like, for Dalton Smith. He was touted to be facing another 140-pounder, 10-stone fighter, Adam Azim, but they withdrew, it seems, Adam Azim from that fight right now. They're both on trajectories towards world title. Different promoters, Dalton Smith under DAZN and Eddie Hearn, Adam Azim under Boxer and Ben Shalom, but the twain shall meet for me within 12 to 18 months.
It's inevitable that they will meet, you know, in the next 12 months or so, but I think there's going to have to be a world title on the line for that one. Adam Azim, as we know, won the European title in his 10th fight. He's a superb talent, and Dalton Smith, equally, he's a brilliant talent as well. I mean, that is a mouth-watering contest, but let it simmer, let it build up, let both guys build the profile, because boy, when we get that one, that's a huge fight.
Sandy Ryan was also victorious on the night, defending her WBO welterweight title against Terry Harper. What a phenomenal victory. She joined us to tell us what she wants next.
Very happy to get the stoppage. More to come, more to work on, but I'm happy. I was a bit reckless a little bit, I feel, but everyone's seen that I box really well. But I know what I'm capable of bringing more to the table, so...
You mentioned that, obviously, WBA champion, I think, in your division, 147-pound division, 10 stone 7, is Jessica McCaskill, WBA, WBC, and the ring belt. Natasha Jonas is out there as IBF champion as well. Yep. Are they targets for you now?
Yeah, anyone with the belts or anyone on the way to for me to become undisputed champion, that's my goal. So anyone on the way, I'll happily take.
Yeah, I mean, that was a fantastic win for you there. Many people felt that this was really, you know, maybe a 50-50 fight. Terry's got that experience. He's been there before, seen it, done it.
Twice as many fights.
Absolutely. Yep. But you went out there and, you know, it was a conclusive finish, but it was a demolition job as well. I thought you boxed fantastically. You mentioned some of the big names there, you know, that you want to get these unifications. You want to move on and have these big fights. We've got Lauren Price there challenging McCaskill as well, haven't we, for the Ring Magazine and world titles as well.
Upcoming couple of weeks' time. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what I'm saying is there is great dance partners in your weight division, isn't there? So there's big fights to be made.
This weight division is like it is great at the minute in women's boxing. So there's so many fights to be made from in the UK girls, the US girls. Massive fights, massive nights ahead.
We've had Nina Hughes, the WBA bantamweight champion, in the studio with us for the last half an hour as well. Nina's just departed the studio, that is, and we were talking to her about she still holds down an office job. And one of the things that we are fascinated by is: are you guys as world champions? Are you girls, women as world champions, earning enough for your world championship defences? You were fighting a woman tonight who was going for her third divisional world title. Are you happy with the amount of lucre being put into your bank account after these contests?
Yeah, I am. I'm in a good position, and Matchroom are treating me really well. So I'm happy in my position.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant news. I think it's all about having these unification bouts, moving on, and you know, looking at. I mean, what is your dream fight, Sandy? I mean, you really are going from strength to strength right now. But what is the dream fight for you? Because I know you girls, you will fluctuate up and down the weight divisions. You're looking for the biggest fights. You don't like the politics that are involved in maybe the men's boxing. You know, you just want to get in there with the best. What's the best for you? Where would you like to go next?
There's massive fights to be made, isn't there? There's all talks. Eddie's dropping names: Natasha Jonas, Chantal Cameron. This is what I mean. Anyone, like, I'll let my team tell me who I'm fighting next, and then I'll just get myself prepared and ready.
But there must be one where you look like, even when I was boxing, I'd look at someone and go, yeah, that's the fight I want. That's the guy that I want to fight. There must be one.
Let me switch this question. Who would you want me to fight next?
The winner of Jessica McCaskill and Lauren Price.
All let's make that happen then.
I would love that. Or Natasha Jonas is another great fight as well.
They're all great fights for you, and I think you should be stepping up now. Well, then we were joined by Nina Hughes and her manager, Leon Sudbury. Nina, the WBA bantamweight champion who fights in Australia on the undercard of George Kambosos and Vasyl Lomachenko very soon. She gave us her roadmap and some controversial views on Ebony Bridges and her other opponents from the UK.
It's been a long wait, been inactive since my last fight, so I'm just itching to get back in that ring now and defend our title.
Tell us about your opponent.
Shanika Johnson, she's a former world champion. We actually last boxed on the same show together back in June. She lost her world title to Ellie Scottney at the weight above. But yeah, it's a great fight. She's a tough opponent, and I just want to show the world why I'm world champion.
People might think it's remiss of me talking about a woman in her age, but I think you're nearly 40.
But we
won. 41. But you're incredibly youthful. You're a fantastic fighter. You're on the GB amateurs. You came to the sport fairly late. You're incredibly tough. Arguably, I think you're in the top 10 pound for pound in technical skills in the world. How long is it going to take you to get all the belts from Dina Thorsland, and who holds three of them, and the Ring Magazine title? She's 21-0, and Mio Yoshida, 17-4, who defeated Ebony Bridges last time out. How long is that going to take you?
Depends how quickly I can make them fights. I've been chasing them fights. I've been chasing that IBF title for such a long time now. Since I won my world title, all I've wanted is to unify and go for undisputed, but unfortunately them fights haven't been able to be made.
You haven't been, certainly off record, very happy with Ebony Bridges. You always felt that would be a ding-dong in Britain. She lost the title to Yoshida. Did she run away from you? Did she run scared from you?
100%, yeah. She never wanted that fight. I've been told she would never take that fight. She didn't want that fight. She thought she took the easy option and went for Yoshida instead, the last minute fight, and ended up losing.
She wrote a tweet, the blonde bomber Ebony Bridges, she's taken it down since, saying Eddie Hearn offering insults as paydays to women. What do you make of that?
I think Ebony's a little bit deluded. She thinks that she's worth way more than she is. I think Eddie's paying the market rate and what the going rate is for women. Unfortunately, it's nowhere near what the men earn, but it's a business at the end of the day. And Ebony's asking for ridiculous money. I think she thinks she's, because of her, what she does out of the ring, she brings...
Well, what does she do out of the ring?
Her OnlyFans and whatever she does. she thinks she brings tickets and money to the table, but do the people that watch her weigh-in actually buy a boxing ticket?
So that's what do you mean question. About the weigh-in where she's in her lingerie or very kind of like scantily clad?
Yeah, I think she thinks she's worth way more than she is because of what she does out the ring.
Now, Nina, I know that you've been wanting those big fights and you've been looking for those unifications and undisputed fights. They've not materialised. You've now switched promoter to Lou DiBella. Great promoter, historically one of the best out there. He can get the big fights. He works alongside Top Rank and whatnot. So what is the road path for you? Where do you see it going now? I mean, I know we've got this big fight out in Perth. That's the first step to it, you know, and then... From there, where do you see it going? Have you spoke to Lou about, you know, activity, where you're going to go, who it's going to be, what's the, you know, final goal?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, I can't look past Shaniqua. I have to win this fight for anything else to carry on. But since I won my world title, I've wanted the IBF fight. So now Yoshida's got it. Hopefully, if she keeps her belt, I don't know who she's fighting next, but if she keeps her belt, that's definitely a fight that can be made, hopefully, next. And then... Winner goes, I want to win that and go on to fight Andina for Undisputed.
What would be the dream fight for you? Like the one that you think, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's the fight that I want. And do you know what I mean? Because you've had a fantastic career. You know, you're like 41 years of age. Seem to be improving still all the time.
Hang on. She's already said how old she is. You don't need to keep pushing it on her.
Easy, mate.
But I've got to say, though, 41 going on 25.
I'm actually 41 on Wednesday. I'm 41 on Wednesday.
More like 51.
49.
Still 49, mate.
Looking a day over 60. Yeah, no. But what I'm saying is, you seem to be going from strength to strength. Yeah, your career has been a little bit stop-start. You haven't been getting the fights you're getting, but hopefully now this is the kickstart for the big things. What's the dream fight for you?
Well, the dream fight, when Ebony had the IBF, I wanted to fight Ebony and then Dina, because Dina's got two belts. So I wanted to go in as an even playing field, two belts each, fight for Undisputed. Now Yoshida's got the belt. I've got to beat Shaniqua, and then I want Yoshida, and then Dina.
Is Shannon Courtney out there for you as well? Because there was talk about you fighting her at one point, but has she run off as well?
Yeah, I just feel like my career's been put on hold and wasted a big chunk of my career waiting for a fight with her. Matchroom wanted a big fight with her. She pulled out of my fight in June, and then she was offered two other fight dates, and she turned both of them down. 10 weeks apparently wasn't enough notice for her to... get ready for one fight on the Katie Taylor undercard. So, yeah, my career was put on hold for a fight with her, which never
materialised. So Bridges and Courtney, all your British opponents, if you like, opponents in Britain, the big money fights and the kind of resonant fights, you had opponents running away from. Why, Nina?
Who knows?
Now, come on, tell us why.
Obviously, you're running scared, eh?
You are a very aggressive, very tenacious, but very skilled fighter. We're going to get into your life more after the break, but where did it all come from? Where did it all begin for you?
I fell into boxing completely by accident. Like, I took it out for fitness because I found it more interesting than going to the gym. I never actually wanted to box. I never really followed boxing. It was just one of them things that happened by accident, and I was talked into competing one day, and yeah, here I am now.
And how long ago was that?
About 16 years ago now.
Wow.
But you went through the amateur ranks as well, though, didn't you?
Went through the amateurs.
A lot of amateur fights.
Yeah, boxed for GB. Travelled around the world, boxing for England.
Why so long before you turned pro then?
Do you know what? I never ever wanted to turn pro. Like, the whole thought of selling tickets, and I was like, oh, I cannot be asked to do that. And, yeah, and then it was only in lockdown. I was watching girls on the telly, girls had sparred, girls had beaten, and I was thinking, you know what?
I could be a world champion, yeah.
I could still do this. And I just thought, you know what? I thought, if I give it a go and I don't make it, at least I've tried and I'll have no regrets. I thought, if I don't try, I'll probably regret it for the rest of my life.
Before we go to break, Leon Sudbury, your manager, has been very supportive. You're a sponsor of yours. He really backs you to the hilt. I've known Leon a couple of years now. What is it, Leon, about Nina? Did you get involved to push her? Because whenever I'm with Nina, I always find myself saying, push yourself to the front of the queue. Do you know how talented you are? Is it something you have to do with Nina? Because she's so laid back, she's almost horizontal. Do you know?
100%. She's really modest. She doesn't... She ain't really out there. So I've told her, push yourself more. You're the WBA world champion. You know, like, you're not just a contender anymore. So you've got to push yourself. Let everyone know who you are.
And you were instrumental in getting her involved with Lou DiBella, weren't you?
Yeah. So I made the deal with Lou. So it will see the rest of her career out. So she'll go through Shanika, which I'm confident she will. Obviously, she's not going to overlook anybody, but listen, I think she beats Shanika, and then she goes on and hopefully unifies the division.
I mean, what an opportunity, though. Listen, boxing out in Perth, going out there, boxing on the undercard of George Kambosos and Lomachenko is absolutely fantastic. When it's all done and you're sitting at home, chilling out with your kids, saying, listen, that's what I've achieved, that's where I boxed, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the experience. Like, I won my world title in Dubai. Now I'm getting to go defend it in Australia, in Perth, on a massive, like, on a Lomachenko-Kambosos undercard. Oh,
a lovely body shot. Oh, a lovely right hand. Chela really needs to come back with something here. No. The referee has come in and called a stop.
I feel like I'm getting the opportunities that I deserve, but yeah, I just keep fighting them and yeah, I just keep pushing on to try and achieve what I want to achieve.
You're listening to Fight Night and Talk Sport. I'm Gareth and Ava Spencer-Oliver in the studio with me. That was the voice of Nina Hughes, who is in the studio with us as we speak with her manager, Leon Sudbury. Let's go back, Nina, to the fights that you'd like to have and the fights we might have seen. I think most of us wanted to see that fight with you and Ebony Bridges.
Yep.
Yes, for a world title, which she lost, of course, to Yoshida, the IBF title that she held at bantamweight. It's still a money fight, isn't it?
No, she thinks she's the big money fight for everyone, but fighting her, I would have got paid no more than fighting Shannon Courtney or fighting Joe Bloggs. I would have got the same amount as what was in my contract, regardless of who I fight. So there was no fighting her was no big money fight. She just had the IBF belt, which is what I wanted. It was business. It was nothing personal. I just wanted her belt. Now she hasn't got that belt. She's completely irrelevant to me. And yeah, she's not on my radar anymore. The fight's pretty pointless.
Let's talk about payment for women then. You still hold down a job, don't you? An
yep.
office job.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Is it insurance?
Financial something.
Financial, you know, advice. But the point being that, you know, we've got Liam Davis joining us in a little bit. He used to do a bin round. He doesn't have to do it anymore. He got a fantastic knockout last weekend. But, you know, you're a mum.
Yeah.
You still have to hold down a job.
Yep.
As well as being a world champion.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right to me. that surely doesn't seem right to you either.
It's just one of them things. I mean, people don't realise you only get paid when you box. So the last time I boxed, by the time I next get in the ring, would be 11 months apart. So I can't...
but if you were earning $2 million for it,
yeah.
or £700,000, you would be able
different.
To... That's why we don't see boxers for a year at a time at the top of the sport.
But I think we're at the stage right now, where it's the transition now, right now, transition stages, isn't it? Because women's boxing, the growth of women's boxing is growing
it's
all the time. We're
no
starting
question.
To get women now topping bills. We had that all-women's yeah. card that we topped by Savannah Marshall and Clarissa Shields. That was the turning point for me. And I think people now recognise that women's boxing, they take it seriously. Seriously, so the money will have to go up. I know there's that argument about 2 minute rounds, 3 minute rounds, and all that sort of stuff, 10 rounds, 12 rounds. But the bottom line is the women pull it all on the line. You get in there and you both roll the dice, and it's a fantastic contest. So I think it's inevitable that the money is going to start going up.
The big fights, like the big fights that happen, and people not be turning them down. Like for instance, Sandy Ryan and Terry Harper, they both put it all on the line. That's a great fight, it's a great domestic. British world title fight.
What will they have been earning for that, in your view, then?
I don't know.
No, I don't know. I was trying to surmise earlier. Are they earning 100 grand each? Is it 150? I mean, I'm sure Eddie Hearn won't reveal that to us. But, you know, Leon, what should Nina be earning when she steps in and defends her world title, in your view?
I think they should be earning a lot more money, but still it's the market value. It's do they headline events. The girls that headline events, obviously... like Katie Taylor, Chantel Cameron, obviously they're going to be paid a lot more money, but you're only going to headline events if the girls want it. You know, like I said, it's no good girls pulling out on each other or not making the big fights.
But you trained in the amateurs. You were there with Natasha Jonas, Chantel Cameron, all these, I would consider to be big names. We're at a time on the planet where women's issues are being pushed forward, particularly in sport, where football is being pushed forward, where rugby, where cricket's being pushed forward, where, you know, as kind of seasoned campaigners on the sport, we're being asked to really drive it. How do we get to that point where women are paid the right amount?
Well, I think it's all about having another good dance partner, and I think because of the pool on the depth of women's boxing at the moment isn't there. The top is there, but what I'm saying is there isn't enough of them. So if you go to, like, let's say Katie Taylor versus Amanda Serrano, Madison Square Garden, them girls are getting well paid. Definitely. Savannah Marshall, Clarissa Shields, them girls are getting well paid because they're like super fights in the women's division where there is no super fights
at
the moment.
Yeah, but they make a lot of noise as well, though.
What I'm saying is
constantly making noise. She and Savannah Marshall had a grudge fight for ages, and I think you're quite serene as a person. Can you go out there and push and shove at a press conference or on a media tour?
But Gareth, I think on the flip side, like if you speak to Nina, like you do, and you become friendly with Nina, she's infectious when you speak to her. So what I'm saying is that's the flip side of it, that people see her, and then when they get to know her and they see her box, they go all of a sudden, bang, they're invested because they like her, because you don't have to. You don't have to be.
That's why I've always chased.
You don't have to go out there.
All I want to do is be in the big fights, but it's making them fights happen.
You haven't got to go out there wearing next to nothing to get on the scales to try and sell yourself and push the girl or pull her out. It doesn't have to be that way.
No.
You've got to perform in the ring, and when people see that actually this girl's, you know, they look at your backstory and go, you know, she's a mum of two and she's got this job, and it's like a fantastic story, so you invest in the person. Do you understand? But I think what it is you need another dance partner. You need someone else.
Definitely.
Like yourself, where you just, the styles make fights, you have that fight and all of a sudden, bang, people are invested and we move on. And that's where it is. But I think we're just in that transition time right now with women's boxing where the money will come because people are appreciating it.
I go back to the days of covering Jane Couch trying to get a license.
Yeah.
And Jane spending nights borrowing the beds of media guys because she didn't.
I thought he was going to say you then. Sorry. It's the way you looked at me with that smile on your face.
I'm in the Jane Couch WhatsApp group, okay.
Who's in that group? Just you and Jane. Stop it, Gareth.
He's just been kicked out anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Photos have been deleted.
I'm being told to move on as I blush. No, but what I'm saying is she didn't have any money. She didn't earn any money for some fights. It was all about the glory. It was all about getting the license to fight at the time. It's a real seminal time. You're 41 already. How long can you stay in the sport? Because you don't want to look back in 10 years' time and go, oh, God. You know, and you don't want to be boxing when you're 51, do you?
Yeah, that's why I just want the big fights, and I hope they can be made soon.
Look, take a positive from this. George Foreman made a comeback at 45. There you go. She's got a few years left yet. I feel great still. I'm 48.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, if you want to make a comeback, I think that's fine. But I'd be worried about you. I wouldn't be having it, by the way. You know, we know you've opened a gym this week.
Yeah, we
but
have.
It doesn't mean you're going to have another fight. Spencer asked it earlier, but how do you create this route map? Now, if you defend your title, which I hope you do, in Australia, can you get Dina Thorsland? For me, she's the big name.
Yep.
She's undefeated. She's got three of the belts. You can parade the Ring Magazine belt around, which is the belt, really, in lots of ways.
Yep.
Is that possible, that fight? Is it doable, guys?
I hope so, yeah, definitely. That's the fights we've been chasing, and it's about making them fights.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Well, we were joined by the phenomenal victor, Liam Davis, the IBO Super Bantamweight champion, who was, I think, the star of the show last weekend. A hellacious uppercut that floored his opponent and got him victory. 4 minutes, 17 seconds into a bout that was expected to be very difficult for him. Here's a buoyant victor speaking to us from South America.
Living the dream, as they say.
Have you taken the family over there with you or not?
No, so me and the wife are here. It's a year tomorrow. It's our first anniversary married, so we took a little nice vacation in the sun.
So not a mark on you, as I say, handsome as ever. And have you been out there cha-cha-cha in the bars in the night with the wife or not?
Oh, nah. We're not really drinkers, to be honest. We're eaters. We've just been sunbathed. Give her a lesson today at bowls, and she's given me a few lessons playing cards. So
you know you're supposed to let her win at bowls, mate. You know that's the rules, don't you?
She's given me lessons. She's battered me at cards. So first win I've been here, to be honest, since Saturday. This is my first win today at bowls.
257 seconds of hell, as I say, against Eric Robles last weekend on the magnificent seven card in Birmingham. You weren't expected to win so easily, even on the Sunday, by the way, at the British Boxing Board of Control Awards. Referee John Latham, who I really rate, said to me, "Do you think I should have let Robles carry on?" And I'm like, "Yeah, he's a strong guy and he came to win. And we wanted to see Liam finish him properly." It must have been, Liam, so satisfying to get victory in that manner.
Yeah, it was very satisfying. And do you know what is the best bit about it? My dad, my coach, we were working on that shot. And if you see before...
The right uppercut, you mean, yeah?
Yeah, the uppercut. And when they come in the changing room and they do the video before you go out, you can see me throw it over and over with my dad. So I know he's happy. And obviously, I'm happy. But we're in the game where I win these fights and then I have a couple of days buzzing, can't sleep on cloud nine. And then I'm like, right, I still want more. So just carry on doing what I'm doing and looking forward to the next one because yeah. I'm a fighter. I love fighting and I love winning.
Yeah, Liam, and that's what you're doing. You seem to be improving with every fight. Is that like development stage that you're at right now? And you're now IBO Super Bantamweight Champion. There's some big fights ahead of you, but that was expected to be a much tougher test. But you dealt with it. And what that's down to is being able to adapt. That adaptability takes you there. And that's what takes you to that championship level. And I think you proved that on Saturday night because, you know, you like you say, you went in there, we had a game plan. You saw the weaknesses of your opponent. You could see that he come in a little bit square. The uppercut was the perfect shot and you executed the perfect game plan. That was brilliant, mate.
Yeah, and it's credit to my team as well for breaking things down brilliantly once again. For like every fight up to now, I always walk in prepared to walk through fire and no one's actually quite tested me yet. And I've still got more to come. I'm 27. I love the game. I got the attitude that I want to push on and do more. And I'm a good listener, good learner still. I ain't winning these fights and getting comfortable or thinking I know it all. So, yeah, I think this is just the start of something big. And I've said a few times now, I feel like I can be the next big thing from Britain and slowly backing it up fight by fight.
As you said, a good listener and a good learner. You took four more punches after that right uppercut that floored him and the left hook sent Robles crashing to the canvas. For those listening who don't have context here about Liam and his progression, Eric Robles, of course, edged out Lee McGregor in Edinburgh last year and looked like he could be a hard night's work for you initially. But what you've proven with this victory, obviously you're the European champion at £122, is that there are nights ahead for you where we are going to be watching you on the world stage. And it is only one or two or three fights away. Am I right in my thinking here and what I'm assuaging here?
Yeah, definitely. This fight just put my foot just in the door for these big fights. So I'm ready for someone in the top 10. I'm ready for these matchroom guys, like I said. I see anything.
Oh, you're talking June the 1st in Saudi Arabia then, yeah?
Yeah.
Warren versus Hearn.
Yeah, the Warren versus Hearn, that would be the ideal one.
Throw some names for us then, Liam. Throw some names.
I'd love the Shabazz Masood fight.
Yeah.
I'd love that one. Who's MJ, the Uzbekistan?
Yeah.
There's him as well. There's featherweight Josh Warrington. I'd love that. What a massive name. I'd like that one. Top.
Can I have one criticism of you, though? You've shorn your hair, handsome as you are, but I do like you with a little bit of a floppy hair look. You know, I said it to you when I was with Abs October Red the other day at the press launch that I was disappointed you'd shorn your hair off. What's the chance of you growing your hair back?
I don't know. You know, it's easier when you're training. It's just easier, but it always comes down to when I was young, my grandfather was my coach and I always had the quiff over and always wanted it. And he used to say to me that, the saying, the fashion show, we're here to fight.
Brilliant.
That's why I got old with just take it all off and take the pretty boy away and become a savage, which I think Saturday night I was. And I've shown before last year as well. Once I see them going, I'm here to entertain and take people out.
And that's exactly what you do, mate. You know, you execute the perfect game plan. And when you get them good. And that's what you proved on Saturday night. Now, you mentioned there a couple of names. Shabazz Masood is a great opponent for you. That would be a great fight because he's got an IBF ranking as well. He's up there as well. That would be a great fight. But another guy that I wanted to mention, I don't know if this is something that would be a possibility any time soon down the road, but Dennis McCann, who boxed on Saturday night, and he won via a points decision. But that's another great fight, I think, in the pipeline for you, right?
Well, he's been in the pipeline for years, hasn't it? He was made my mandatory for the English, and we was well up for the fight back then. He called me out Saturday. I hope his wins give him some confidence to fight me. But I did say after my fight, do you know that meme of Homer Simpson when he just shuttles back into the bush? I reckon he watched my fight, tucked himself away again. Yeah. I'd love to fight, big fight, but things have gone on behind the scenes that I don't want to embarrass anyone, but I just know that the fight ain't going to happen.
What happens in the gym stays in the gym for now. For those listening, cooking at home, driving their taxis, wherever they are right now, just left the club, listening to their phone on the way home because they're addicted to Fight Night on TalkSport and addicted to listening to people like Liam Davis, who's enjoying himself in Latin America at the moment. There was a time when you were doing a bin round, yeah?
I did
the bin round once. Remember Rendell Monroe? I did his bin round with him in Leicester one morning. 5 a.m. we started. I've told Spence the story before. Had to drive up there at about 2 in the morning from where I lived in Cambridgeshire up to Leicester. Did the bin round, 5 a.m. It was icy and snowy. He ran the entire time, by the way. He ran. And then we had a big slap up with the boys afterwards. I was exhausted, right? It was 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. We'd finished the bin round. Do you ever wonder about going back? Because it's brilliant for fitness, isn't it?
Yeah, it is brilliant for fitness. Nah, I don't want to go back.
Do you know,
definitely not, especially not in the weather that's going. England seems to have all the time. It was cold, wet most days. the odd day it was nice, too hot when you're running around. I used to run around myself. But great memories, met some great people. And they've actually come to my fights now still. So, yeah, great, great memories on the bin. Something I'll always look back on and smile about. But,
yeah,
hopefully not again. Keep winning. That's what I want to keep winning. I want to be one of these guys on the commentary, sat in your position.
What, Spencer's, not mine. You want to work with me, yeah, going forward? I'll be happy to do that. Spence, you're sacked.
Listen, I want to talk about Rendell Monroe just quickly. Rendell Monroe, you know, he never gave up as a bin man. You know that. Even when he became European champion, he continued the job because he loved it so much. It's
well,
crazy.
Don't tell me that because I'll have to go and do the bin round again. But if Liam was still doing it, I'd go and do the bin round with him. Listen, you've got a job anytime you want. Once you're a world champion, I'm binning Spencer Oliver. How about that?
Yeah, I'll be there. I love giving people grief and stirring the pot. So.
Listen, mate, you were my old weight. So, listen, you'd have to put on a little bit more weight now, by the way. But, yeah, I was going to say I'd fight you for it, but you wouldn't give the weight away.
Enjoy the precious time with your wife, by the way. Happy anniversary. Fantastic victory last weekend. Onwards and upwards. Thank you very much, Liam Davis.
Yeah, enjoy, mate.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, then Spencer and I were joined by the Apache, Anthony Cacace, who is over in Ireland, in Belfast. He fights Joe Cordina on the undercard of the Undisputed Heavyweight title fight in Riyadh on May the 18th. He is looking forward to his unified title at Super Featherweight. Here he is.
I know what Joe brings to the table. Though, you know, he was a great amateur Olympian, you know, he's a very good fighter and definitely the best I've ever been in with. So I'm buzzing for the opportunity and it could well be fighter than it.
What does it mean to you to be on a card that is going to be watched? Literally, probably the biggest. I'm going to come to Iron Mike Tyson in a minute, who's just behind you, but this is probably the biggest card of the year. If not, they're calling it the fight of the century, the event of the century. What does it mean to you to be on a card of this magnitude?
I mean, everything. I mean, this is the biggest fight in 20, 30 plus years, more, whatever. I mean, such an opportunity for me. I mean, millions and millions of people watching the fight. I just feel real privileged to be part of it all.
Yeah, it is a huge opportunity for you, isn't it? And you go, you know, you go back to 2012. You know, you've turned pro in 2012. This is what you've been working for. This is what the dreams are all about, isn't it? You go, you look at your career, the way that you was going was so well. You lost to Martin J. Ward back in 2017, and you haven't looked back since then. You've gone from strength to strength, picked up the IBO title. Now you get your chance for the unification fight against Cordina, who's won his last couple of fights, and he's had a tough time in those last couple, hasn't he? I mean, you must have seen some chinks in the armour there.
Yeah, I have. Listen, he's flashy, he's got the speed, you know, he knows what he's doing, but I think maybe the weight is an issue, and I make him weight perfect, so I don't know what the reasons are behind. Like, he's in with good fighters too, so it's boxing, isn't it? It's some good days, some bad days.
For every grandmother cooking in the kitchen right now who's just turned on TalkSport, and we don't want to lose them, the Apache Cacace is what you're known as, okay? Let me delve for a moment into your DNA, your bloodline. Cacace, where does that come from?
It comes from Italy. My father, he's Italian. My mother, she's Irish. And I think my mum met my dad in Italy when she was a teenager and hasn't looked back since.
And where's dad from?
Naples.
Same Napoli. As my mother, because I'm a Welsh Italian, so I know that you're a flaming lunatic.
Yeah, absolute lunatic, and I'm not denied.
Vesuvius doesn't have a thing on us because we've got two mad volcanoes, because we've got the Celt and the Italian. And I say that only because I have such an affinity, because the emotion and passion must run so deep in your blood.
Absolutely, absolutely. My daddy, he was a passionate runner too, so, you know, I must get it from him. I just don't like to lose. I'm in this game to win. You know what I mean? And see to come across an IBF title shot with someone like Joe Cardona, I never thought it would ever come. I'm 35 now. I thought, you know, these opportunities are, you know, they're rare. So I'm delighted.
Have you been back to trace your Italian roots in Naples? Do you go down the Amalfi Coast? Do you get involved in that whole area? Do you speak Italian?
I don't speak Italian. I haven't got the brain cells for that, like, but the sister speaks. I was actually there last year. My granny, she's still alive, and I've got cousins.
La nonna.
Nonno's not there no more, but nonna's still there.
Listen, and you said it yourself there, you're 35 years of age. You get this opportunity now, I mean, against Cordina. It's a fight that you must win, really, at this stage of your career, isn't it?
Of course. I have to win this fight. And I believe I can. You know, a lot of people are writing me off. You know, I's an old man, and, you know, even people from around me own area. But I believe that if I touch for anyone's chin, that they'll go. I'm more determined to win this fight than I've been in my whole career. So I'm going over here with a job to do, and I'm going to do it.
He's a southpaw. Yeah. I'm throwing this to Spencer. Spencer obviously knows his onions, knows his nuts and bolts. What you are is you've never been stopped. You're a southpaw. No. You know how
I'm an orthodox, but a box southpaw. Are
you right or left-handed?
Right.
So you're converted. Mm. You're a converted when you switch. Bruce Lee was a converted southpaw, remember? I always like to remind people of that.
Do you know what? Switch southpaws are dangerous as
absolutely.
Well. Absolutely. I boxed one Patrick Mullins, who was
a great fighter, of course.
But he was the same. He was switched. He was a converted southpaw. And they really whack with that lead hand, the uppercut and the hooks and stuff. Anthony, okay. I know that you've got a very good work rate. And like I said to you, you're going out there, you're going to put it all on the line. How do you beat Cordina? That's what we want to know. Like, tell us what you see and how you win this fight.
It's just another fight, isn't it? It's just working on tactics. Don't want to say it too much, like, but plenty of heart, plenty of desire, plenty of faith.
So we got the Maltese Falcon, Cordina's father's from Malta. We've got Kakachi, whose dad's from Italy. We've got a dust-up, a Mediterranean dust-up in Saudi Arabia. It's going to be very warm out there in May. So, like you say, you're going to go out there, I imagine, 10, 12 days before. I think you said 10 days before. We cannot wait for a dust-up in the desert. It's going to be an amazing occasion. I know you'll bring everything. It's been great talking to you tonight. I'm made up about the Italian heritage. Let me just finally ask you, you're clearly a fan of Iron Mike Tyson. You've got an amazing, looks like a memorabilia poster behind you. What do you make of him fighting Jake Paul, Anthony?
I don't know, really. I don't buy into any of that. Like, I mean, I suppose it's good for boxing in a way. It's people are watching, it's open, it's boxing, it's going, you know what I mean? It's a massive fight in its own right. You know, Jake Paul's a bit of a rocket, but I fancy Tyson to do him in a round or two, to be honest.
A very important subject next. I found myself in the House of Commons this week where the MP Imran Hussein is chairing an APPG, an all-party policy group on boxing, where funding is much needed for the grassroots, certainly the grassroots boxing clubs in the UK. Believe it or not, zero funding at the moment. Well, I spoke to Imran Hussein and Avion Perryman from Sports England Boxing, rather, and they told us how important it is that they back 150,000 people involved at the grassroots of the sport. Spencer and I discussed it as well. Grassroots boxing has a ludicrous lack of funding, and it will continue to damage the sports. This week, I, with many others, and 25 MPs, attended a group, the all-party parliamentary group on boxing at Portcullis House in Westminster, to look at the lack of funding for grassroots boxing clubs in the UK. And while Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua sit at the top of the boxing food chain, earning millions of pounds for their exploits in these era-defining fights, and we don't begrudge them a penny of that money. Just spare a thought for the 1,055 grassroots community boxing clubs in the country, which have, Spencer, zero funding. 150,000 participants, 5,000 coaches, effectively all who are volunteers. Now, we've been here before, we've been in campaigns before, but nothing seems to have changed. But the MP for Bradford East, Imran Hussein, amongst 24 others from the MPs and the Lords, are looking to create decent leverage with government in their next sports strategy, whichever government it is, to have secured funding for this area of sport. Let's just listen to what Imran Hussein told me at Portcullis House earlier this week.
A real big part of our all-party parliamentary group is to provide support for grassroots boxing gyms. Sometimes when we talk about boxing, the area within boxing that's overlooked is the grassroots boxing gyms, like the one I said I hugely benefited from. Because many of these clubs have little to no support. Actually, many of them are done by coaches and teachers who simply want to invest back into their communities. They're not-for-profit organisations.
They're literally volunteers who give their lives, aren't they? We all know them, absolutely. The guy that's been there or the woman that's been there for 30, 40, 50 years.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like I said, the real hubs, these places, of multi-agency work, of bringing together people, of providing equipping young people how to deal with difficult situations in their life. And it was tragic that, you know, we saw the sports strategy that was coupled with £300 million of funding and, you know, many netball associations and yachting clubs.
Boxing got millions didn't get of a look pounds. In, did
well,
it?
Well, grassroots boxing did not even get a look in.
And, say it, it was zero. It was zero. And it was staggering at the time when you think about the work it does.
Absolutely. And this is a campaign. So I think, you know, it should be included. I think there should be...
What would you like to see done?
Well, I would like to see some of our grassroots boxing clubs getting proper support. Because if we use these grassroots boxing clubs as a proper model, and if you went into the localities and spoke, I think, to other agencies, whether that's NHS or the police or schools, I think they will already highlight the many benefits that many of these clubs provide.
Do you think the research is going to show that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think both reports are very clear. I think one of the reports highlights some of the benefits but says much more work is needed. I think the other report is very clear into at least four or five of the benefits, the agency working, the partnership, the fact that many of these clubs are in the most deprived areas and therefore actually because of their very localities and the young people they work with, they should be supported to provide extra support through many of the government schemes and local authority schemes.
Very serious business here. Every one of our stars comes from one of those grassroots clubs. You know that. How hard do we want them to push for this funding?
We need them to push for this funding. You know, this historically has been going back to even when I was boxing as an amateur, you know, clubs struggling, like 90% of the clubs that are around now in these deprived areas are helping get kids that are in gangs, kids that are doing drugs, drinking, getting them off the streets and giving them the direction, the focus in life. That's how important boxing is. It's all about the life skills. It's not always about just creating the champions. It's about putting people on the right path. These gyms are massively important. Everybody that works in these amateur boxing clubs, my father was one of these that done it for 30, 40 years, where they work there and they work there for free. You know, it's just one of those things they do because they do it for the love of the club.
And they've been there themselves.
Absolutely. They're volunteers and that's what they do. And I think that we need more support. We need to push this because boxing now is at the forefront. It is a mainstream sport. And, you know, and it benefits these kids, you know, gets them away from mental health and all the problems I've just underlined. So it's massively important, Gareth, that we get, you know, the government behind this.
There, I also spoke to a criminologist, Dr. Deborah Jump, a senior lecturer in criminology from Manchester Met University. And The latest research was done 9 years ago, the last research rather, but they are doing more recent data into crime, health, fitness, education, social capital, as she calls it, as Jump puts it, and it will aim to document that boxing has a positive impact in all those areas you mentioned, stops gang involvement, builds positive relationships, positive impact on mental health, positive life skills. I also spoke to Avian Perryman, the operations officer or head of operations for Boxing England.
40% of our clubs and members are in the top 20% most deprived parts of the country. We deliver projects for people from underrepresented communities across the country. And to just clarify on the point of funding, although during COVID there was a specific pot that wasn't available, there was significant investment that we managed to tap into that did save a lot of clubs. Although there were a few that didn't manage to get through, a lot of clubs were rescued and saved due to the hard work of jointly working with our partners at Sport England and our club support officer team who are out about in the community, engaging with clubs on a regular basis, as well as, it can't be forgotten, the thousands of volunteers up and down the country that give up their time every single day of the week to keep the sport and clubs alive.
I've pledged to be involved with this. I've got to mention that Matchroom have a community outreach program run by Alex Le Gavel. Eddie Hearn's very involved in that, as is Frank Smith. Such an important, we joke and we laugh and we love our professional boxing, and it's very, very important that we keep this issue in the public domain. Finally, don't forget, next Sunday night we are live from the O2 Arena, a British heavyweight ding-dong grudge fight between Fabio Wardley and Fraser Clark. Chris Congo fights Florian Marku. It's a tremendous card for a Sunday night, an Easter Sunday night. We shall be there live for TalkSport. Myself, Adam Smith, Spencer Oliver and John Rawlings as the team will be bringing you all the action all week. Spencer and I spoke about that card finally on the podcast tonight. Ben Whittaker's on the card, TBC. We know what he'll do. He'll dance, he'll bedazzle us, he'll get a point deducted for dancing backwards and spinning around in a pirouette. Let's leave him alone. We want to see him, of course, don't we?
Listen, Ben Whittaker is the next superstar of British boxing.
There you go.
Put that out there.
There you go.
He is that good.
Okay, he's going to beat up TBC next weekend. Vidal Riley, Mikel Lawal, good fight.
That's a fantastic fight. Coming of age fight for Vidal Riley, stepping up. You know, Mikel Lawal has been there, seen it, done it, got the T-shirt. We know what he is. He's a come forward, very tough fighter. Vidal Riley's very heavy-handed himself. Expect fireworks.
You know, and the other thing is, of course, we have got two fights on the top of the card that will get loads of fans coming. That big red flag with the black, I think they're eagles, Albania. They'll all be there. There'll be thousands at the O2 for Florian Marku against the slick man,
yep,
Chris Congo. Trained now by Ben Davison and Lee Wiley, men with a plan. Yeah?
Listen, it's
the
a,
Ghostbusters
it's
from
a great
Harlow.
Fight. It's a great fight, that is. You know, we know.
Straight in, pick a winner.
Stylistically, it's a tough one to call. It's a very tough one to call. I'm going to lean towards Chris Congo.
Are you?
I think that Chris Congo will have enough in his armory to hold off Florian Marku. Marku's going to have his moments. Congo's going to have to come through a couple of tough ones. But what we've seen with Chris Congo in the past is he can do that. He can get down in the trenches. He can weather a storm. He's got that experience, and that will stand him in good stead. I pick Chris Congo on a tight points decision.
Well, I'm going to go a bit deeper with that, because as you rightly said there, I think the key is hold him off. I think long, lean, fast jab, 1-2, footwork. He's got it all. I must imagine that's what they're planning, to let Florian Marku, who's a ruthless, relentless...
He's a wrecking ball.
A wrecking ball. Let him do that for three or four rounds, frustrate him, force him into a boxing match, and he'll be trying to force Chris Congo into a brawl, because that's what'll suit him.
Yeah, but this is...
Reach advantage, 7 inches...
But this is why I pick Chris Congo. I tell you why I do, because he will try and keep it long. The game plan will be to keep it long. But guess what? He's one of those tall, long-rangey fighters that don't mind having a scrap. He likes getting in the inside. He likes that close range. He likes the short range. And that's what will suit him, because he will have to tough it out at some point. You know, he will try and keep it long. And I think that Ben will have those tactics. Use all your attributes. Work behind the jab. Drive those right hands in. Use the perimeter of the ring. Keep moving. But at some point, he's going to have to get down and dirty. but he doesn't mind doing that. He's been there before, and that's why I pick him to win.
Well, I'm leaving your pick out there. I'm not even going to bother picking.
Well, you can't do that, mate.
Well, I've done it. No, what are you going to do about it?
What?
What are you going to do about it? I'm not doing anything. We're moving on to the next fight. Fabio Ward against Fraser Clark. I'll pick close to the event next week. We'll be around all the events. Don't forget to watch our YouTube channel on TalkSport next week. Spencer and myself will be getting in the mix, down and dirty, in the nuts and bolts, greased and parts where other people just can't get to. And I mean that all in good taste, by the way. But we will be there next week for the build-up around the O2 Arena. It's a Sunday, remember? So we'll be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We will be here next Saturday, of course, building up to that entire show. You never know. We might even get some of the fighters in the studio on the night. On the Saturday night before the Sunday night.
Absolutely. Listen, this is a great card. You look down there, the fights that you've just mentioned, all 50-50s. You know, we talk about Chris Congo winning that fight. Of course, Marco could win the fight as well. What I'm saying is they are all very competitive. The main event, by the way, Fraser Clark versus Fabio Wardley. I love that fight.
Right, let's go through it. Fabio Wardley, a fantastic victory in Saudi Arabia last October against David Adelaide. He took him to 17-0 with 16 KOs. Fraser Clark, 8-0. Olympic bronze medalist from Tokyo. Can you believe it? I was there as well. Olympic bronze medalist. He has got a lot to prove in this fight. He's the guy with things to prove. People have had question marks about his power so far. Does he carry to the higher echelons? A great fight for Fabio Wardley to put his mark on the fact that he belongs truly at world level in those rankings. Does he belong in the top 20 in the heavyweight division? He's probably filtering around 15, 16 in the heavyweight division right now in my rankings. I don't know about yours. Yep. How do you see the fight?
I'll tell you where we're at, Gareth, with this one. Here's the difference between these two. Here's the difference between these two is that Fabio Wardley has proven that he can go through the gears. You know, that coming-of-age fight for him against Nathan Gorman, a fight that many people felt Gorman was going to win that fight. He won it in 3 rounds, looked spectacular in doing that. The fight that you talked about against Adelaide was another fight. Adelaide started favourite again. Look what happened there. Fabio Wardley, weathered those storms, come through, proved that he could bite down on his gum shield. So he's proven that, and he can go through those gears. You know, he's got that injection of pace. We've not seen that from Fraser yet. You know, he's talked about it. I think that Marius Wack, when he boxed Marius Wack at the where was it? At the
York Hall.
Yeah. In Bethnal Green. That was the fight. That was the opponent where you go, right, this is your chance to shine. Marius is a great big guy that
40 years old, fought everyone.
In front of you, yeah, and they go, now you can show us the levels. Go through them. He plateaued. He just boxed at one pace, one gear. Yes, he won the fight comfortably, but we didn't see enough. And I think that's why Fabio Wardley will start a favourite going into this one, because we know where Fabio's at, and we've not yet seen that from Fraser. We know that he can do it, but he's not delivered it. It's a fantastic fight.
I'll be giving my verdict next week. Are you giving yours yet or not? You see Fabio as the favourite? Do you see him as the winner?
Yeah, Fabio Wardley on points.
Well, we can't wait to deliver that for you next weekend. Don't forget to tune in. But don't forget anyway to subscribe to our YouTube channel, listen to our midweek and late week shows. We'll be across it all. You've been listening to the Fight Night podcast with me, Gareth A. Davis. We'll see you next time.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/sports ad free. That's Amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.